Praise God, we are on the concluding series on humility. And always spend some time in prayer regarding the Word of God and the message of God. But today's Word came a bit differently. And it came in a series of different types of visions, which I will use as part of the concluding session on humility. Again, let's look at the importance of humility in the Bible, in the book of 1 Peter. In the book of 1 Peter. Chapter 5. And it says here in verse 5 and 6, likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. And of course, most of us know the words by heart on revival from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek and turn from their wicked ways, and God will hear from heaven and heal our land. So we realize that many scriptures on humility and the power that is in humility. We don't realize how powerful humility is in the Bible until you realize that even when one of the most wicked persons on the planet Earth humbled himself, even that touched God. Yes, even a person like Ahab, if you read the story in the book of 1 Kings, you read the story of how when he took over Naboth's vineyard, who is a neighbor to him, and Elijah pronounced a judgment on him, he humbled himself and fasted and prayed. And God was touched. If that is true of a wicked person like that, how much more those who love God? How much more the humbling of people who are righteous, people who walk with God, people who love God, how much more can they move God when they humble themselves? Apparently, God is watching over every one of us. If the Bible says God receives the proud, that means that God is watching over each one of us to ensure that we continually walk in humility. First of all, as we conclude, we need to emphasize that humbling ourselves before God and walking in humility is not something that we do just because we have done something wrong. The scriptures in 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14 imply that the Israelites have done something wrong and they need to humble themselves and repent, and therefore God will heal their land. But there are many other scriptures that talk about humility that has nothing to do with whether we have done anything wrong. Humbling ourselves is something that has to be done not only when we have done something wrong, but when you have done something right. Let me point to a scripture in the book of John chapter 15. In John chapter 15, Jesus says in verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Now in verse 2 it says, every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away. But then it says, every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. Now the pruning process is a part of the humbling process. And it says that that is going to happen not because you've done something wrong, but when you're born fruit for God. There are seasons of fruit. There are seasons of productivity in God. In the series of visions that God gave, whether it applies to your life or not, and in some of this vision, the Lord did not show exactly who the person is. It may be you personally or someone whom this word is intended for. But the first series of vision that the Lord showed was a tree growing. And this tree was growing in a, it looks like a little courtyard. And this courtyard has a little fence around it. And all around there was barren grass. And this tree was seeking to bear fruit. For some reason, it seems like the tree is alive. And it was trying to bring forth fruit. And then outside of the courtyard were all kinds of wild animals, wild beasts that destroy a lot of plants. And a lot of plants were destroyed outside the courtyard. And the Lord says that there's one who is like this tree, where you have survived a lot of destruction, you have survived a lot of things have come to try to destroy your life, but somehow the Lord seems to have protected you in His courtyard because you have abided in His courtyard. However, it looks like it was a time of barrenness. And this is the word the Lord says. The reason this tree is barren is because it has resisted my pruning. Every time I send someone to prune this tree has rejected the pruners. And then I saw a picture of a gardener, and he has this pruning shears. And it's pruned, and as it comes near to this tree, and this looks a little bit funny in the vision, as a gardener comes with this pruning shear, and you can imagine the tree was standing here like this pulpit, as the gardener comes from the right side, the tree leans to the left. Then the gardener moves to the left side, and the tree moves to the right. It didn't actually move, it sort of swing. And finally, the gardener goes nearer the tree to try to reach it. The tree sort of stretch itself. It was a living tree. And makes itself higher so that it cannot be reached. And the Lord says, I have sent many of my pruners, but this tree is barren because it once bore fruit. But now it's barren because it has resisted my pruning. And the word of the Lord for this tree is that allow yourselves to be pruned, to be cleansed, to be removed. In John chapter 15, there is a constant in the Greek word which you do not find in the English. So the word prune is repeated a few times, but it's been translated as the word clean. So actually what the Bible is saying in verse 2 is, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. And then verse 3, you are already pruned because of the word which I have spoken to you. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So the Lord says in verse 3 that the pruning process is done by the word. It's the same Greek word. The word clean and the word prune in the same context is the same word. Same Greek word. And notice how the pruning process is to be in verse 3. How are you pruned? It says, you are already pruned because of the word which I have spoken to you. Now, going back to this little tree again, and this tree is barren, and there's no fruit. Around it, the grass is all dry and parched. It is protected, shielded, but yet still barren, because it resisted the pruning of the Lord. And this is what the Lord says. This tree has heard my word, but has not obeyed my word. To obey the word is to humble ourselves before Him. The Bible tells us that obedience is much better than sacrifice. And so the process of pruning is to understand that we need to get back to the word. How much of the word? Then the rest of the Bible tells us, the rest of the book of John tells us that part of the process in verse 7 is the word of God. Verse 6 and 7, he actually expands on this, what happens here. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So the first vision is that of a tree that resists the pruning process. If this tree will abide in God's word, apparently this tree is not abiding in the word, not allowing the word to chasten, the word to remove, the word to cleanse, the word to cut. How will I know, you ask, whether I have missed any of God's word? You can only know when you spend time waiting on Him. Have you ever asked God the question, God, is there anything that you have spoken to me that I have not heard clearly? Right? Many people in their prayers are so busy praying their supermarket prayers to God. Their list of things and needs and desires, ambitions, that they never stop once to ask God and say, Lord, have you spoken some things to me that I have missed? Please repeat it again. And please help me to hear you clearly what you have spoken to me. Sometimes we are presumptuous. And presumption is as great a sin as disobedience. Because presumption assumes that God has said something or God has not said something. The two most dangerous things to do in life. One, to assume that God has said something He did not say. Two, to do something that God says, don't do. Two very dangerous things. Have you noticed that in the book of 1 Kings chapter 17, God told Elijah, in chapter 17 verse 9, to go to Zarephath, but He said something about the woman. He says in 1 Kings chapter 17 verse 9,